Make sure you have the discussion questions here for today. So if you didn't get one, maybe Mr. Ray or somebody can pass those out again. But it should say Ephesians 1:3 on it. So if you don't have that one, raise your hand and we'll pass it out here. So does anybody still need that, the discussion questions? If you don't have it, raise your hand. We'll pass it out. Anybody still need that? Okay. All right. We'll start off with some prayer requests. And the Millers are not feeling... Norm is sick this morning. He let me know he's not feeling well, so they won't be here today. So pray for the Millers, for Norm. And then Sue, of course, she's still recovering. It was good to see her last week. She was here. But just pray for the Millers this morning. And then also pray for my wife's mother. She fell, I think it was Monday. Is it Monday? She was playing basketball with her granddaughter who was visiting. And she fell, broke her wrist. And she ended up having surgery on Thursday to put a plate in. And so it's kind of a disappointing thing. But she's a lot more limited now, what she can do. Only one-armed, one-handed now. So pray for my wife's mother. And her name's Judy Gibson. And then, let's see here. Any other prayer requests? Any other prayer requests you have this morning? Yes, Crystal.
Please be in prayer with my dad. He's the OSU specialist tomorrow about his melanoma cancer, and they're probably going to take some lymph nodes and to see where the cancer is and what type of other situation that we might deal with that tomorrow at OSU. And then my mother had a allergic reaction this week to something, and they're not sure what. Both of her arms are broke out and blister hives. She's in a lot of discomfort and pain. They thought she had shingles, but it turns out it was an allergic reaction.
Okay. So, pray for Crystal's mom and dad. It's Bill Roush and Bill and Sharon Roush. So, Bill's supposed to see a specialist about his melanoma cancer treatment, OSU, and allergic reaction that Sharon had this week. So pray for Sharon. And pray for Debbie Lewis this week. She's going to have surgery on Friday, foot surgery. And pray for that and recovery. It'll take place there. So, yes, Shirley. Okay. All right, pray for Becky and her health, reaction to medicine maybe, but kind of a hard week. Okay, anybody else? The prayer requests, praises? Anybody else? Jenny? Okay, this week we are planning to have VBS each night. We were just limiting it this year to 25, and we have that. I think if we have more that would like to come, they just need to come with an adult that can help to guide them. So praise that we have some signed up, and just pray for the week this week. All right. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we lift up to you these requests, and we thank you that you are a powerful God, that you can intervene in any situation, And we've seen that to be true in the past. And we looked up the Millers this morning. They are sick, Norm especially, today. We pray that you would heal him. And pray for Sue as she recovers from this fall that she had several weeks ago. We pray for Crystal's parents, Bill and Sharon Rouse, and you know their needs. Pray for her dad with the cancer treatment and for her mom with this allergic reaction. We pray for special grace for them this week. We thank you that Becky's here today, and we pray for just grace and strength for her and her health. We lift up Debbie Lewis this week as she has surgery on Friday. We pray that you would guide the doctor's hands and help in her recovery. And Lord, we lift up the VBS this week. We pray for each of the children that are coming. We pray that you would use this in their lives. And we pray for your special grace for the workers. And we just pray that you would use it and make it to be something that would be beneficial spiritually. We pray for the other needs, unspoken requests, that different ones in our church have. You know those needs, and we pray that you'd answer the requests according to your will. We pray for the classes going on now. We ask for your special enablement there. Pray that you'd help us as we consider your word here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we are in Ephesians chapter 1 this morning. Ephesians chapter 1. And what we've been doing here in our Sunday school time is going through the prayers of the Apostle Paul and kind of taking them in order as they appear in the Bible, and started in Romans, and we've come here to Ephesians now, and we're going to be in Ephesians for several weeks. There's several prayers that we're going to consider. I think 5 weeks we'll be in Ephesians here. And so look at the first one here, many prayers of Paul in the book of Ephesians. You know, Ephesians chapter 1 here, this is a description by the Apostle Paul of the blessings of our salvation. He is explaining those in Ephesians 1. Actually, matter of fact, the first 14 verses, I think, of Ephesians 1, or verses 3 through 14, is actually one long sentence. It's all connected together there, one long sentence of about salvation and past, present, and future aspects of that. And before Paul explains all of that, or in connection with all of that, we have this brief prayer in verse 3. Notice what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, first of all, the prayer's nature here, and that has to do with an ascription of praise to God. You know, oftentimes if you go to a funeral, you're going to have somebody in as a part of that funeral give what is called a eulogy. And, you know, a eulogy is usually a speech of some sort, and people come up and they're saying usually good things about the deceased, the person who died, what they really appreciated about their life, you know, what they excelled at, and just their different roles, and you know, that's typically called a eulogy, and not always part of a funeral, but you know, sometimes if I'm doing a funeral, I'll ask the family, do you have anybody that would like to give a eulogy at this funeral? And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't, but that term eulogy, that English word, comes from the Greek word here that's translated blessed. Um, Eulogetos is the Greek word, but we get that word eulogy from that Greek word. And there's a connection there in the meeting. It doesn't mean exactly the same thing, but the Greek word has to do with to commend or to praise. And oftentimes the idea of praising God is connected to this word bless in the Scripture. To bless God is on our part not to impart anything to Him. We can't give Him any blessing. But we can recognize something about Him, that He is a blessed, that all blessings come from Him. And so to bless God is connected with praising God. We see that in the Psalms many times. Psalm 34, 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 134, verse 1 says, Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. And so this prayer here is a blessing. It's an ascription of praise to the Lord. And then we see here the prayer's object. Notice the prayer's object here. That's always important to see in Paul's prayers. How does Paul address God? And there's different ways, different names and titles that Paul uses. And we see that here in this verse. He says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here that he doesn't address just God alone, but he addresses God in connection with our Lord Jesus Christ. We see very clearly in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, that the only way that we can know God at all, personally, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no possible way that we can have that relationship with God but through Jesus Christ. We were redeemed, we're saved through Jesus Christ. And so he describes these the object here, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about not just the Lord Jesus Christ here, but notice he says our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's acknowledging the relationship that Paul has, that the people he's writing to has, the Ephesians, and he's recognizing, hey, these people should have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks of God as Father as well, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we think about God as Father, it's not just talking about, the human birth of Jesus. God didn't become a father when Jesus was born. He's always been the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternally. And it's not something that only relates to Jesus' human birth, but who God is. He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the prayer's object, always important to pay attention to how we should address God in prayer. And then we have, thirdly here, the prayer's incitement. What is motivating this prayer here? And that has to do with the spiritual blessings that come from God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So there's these blessings that come from God. Number of different ways we can look at those. As we see God as our Father, you know, this is Father's Day, and God is blessing us, you know, you could say, with fatherly blessings. And in fact, Jesus even compares what God does to what a good father should do. In Matthew chapter 7, he's actually encouraging people to pray, and he says, What man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so, as we think about the blessings we have from Christ, from God, they are those fatherly blessings, the things that children need, we can count on a father to give to them. We can count on God to give us what his children, us, actually need, just like a father would care for his children and not give them something that would harm them on purpose. If there is a father that would do that, we know that's not a good father. We just automatically know that. And we can count on God to do the same thing. And then notice these are past blessings. It says that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So he's thinking about something that has taken place in the past. God has already done this. And certainly God, there are future blessings as well, but what Paul is praying about here, praising God, has to do with something that God has already done. He hath blessed us. And then we notice here that he calls these spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. He's not saying all spiritual gifts here, but all spiritual blessings. Not just the material and temporal things, although there are those spiritual blessings or physical blessings that we can have. But he's thinking about spiritual blessings, things that are connected to our salvation, which is the context here of chapter 1, and the Holy Spirit, things that are imparted by the Holy Spirit, spiritual blessings. These are blessings that are connected to heaven. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean? Notice here that there is a word in italics here, at least in the King James Version, indicating that's supplied by the translator. But the idea here is just heavenly, really. It is an adjective. It's just describing something heavenly. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Of course, that could refer to heaven, as it does many times. Actually, this is a word that comes up several times in Ephesians, and sometimes very clearly refers to heaven. But it also can have the idea of things pertaining to heaven. Commentator Albert Barnes suggests that maybe that's what it has to do with, things pertaining to heaven, things that are fitted to prepare us for heaven and tending toward heaven. These are blessings that, yes, come down to us from heaven, that prepare us even now for heaven. And so there is a definite connection here to the blessings of heaven that we can have even right now. And then we see these are blessings in Christ. Blessings in Christ. That phrase, in Christ, is important as well. It's talking about our union with Christ. We don't have any spiritual blessings apart from being in Christ and believing in Him and trusting Him. All of our blessings are centered and rooted in Him. So that's what motivates this this prayer here. The blessings that we have, the spiritual blessings in Christ. And if you read on the passage, those are expanded upon, I think. Verse 4, He hath chosen us in Him. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Verse 7, the redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. So there's many spiritual blessings that are listed there. All right, so let's take these questions that we have here, and we're going to walk through those. And this first question is one that we've considered several times with the different prayers. But we always want to ask that question. How can this prayer guide our prayers? You know, we have many prayers in the Bible, and I think first and foremost, what can we learn about our own prayers? Or, you know, how should we pray? How can this prayer guide our prayers as we think about prayer? So let's start with that one. Any thoughts? Just think about how can this prayer guide our prayers? How should we pray? Crystal.
Well, we need to start off our prayer in praise and praise God for what He's given us and what blessings we do have. And it is nothing we've done. Just give Him the full praise and, you know, start off our prayer with the praise to Him before we come to Him with our needs or our wants. Praise Him.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Start off with praise. Good. Anybody else? How can this prayer guide our prayers? Jenny.
Well, I guess to start out with the praise, I mean, he had been thinking about all of these things that he had to be thankful for. So, by spending time meditating on what God has done for us, so we can come to the house with that attitude.
Okay, it may take spending some time meditating on what God has done for us to be able to pray like this. Good. Anybody else? Mr. Renard.
I believe it helps us to realize the fact that who is in charge. That we can't do nothing in and of ourselves. God is our creator. Jesus is our redeemer. And that we need to remember their deity and what they have done.
All right. Yeah, just acknowledging who God is as we pray. Okay. Yeah, Rusty.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, like, it kind of mirrors the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus kind of sets up, and so kind of the format at the beginning of this mirrors exactly what Jesus did, so hallowed be thy name. They get, like, to start with blessing God, praising Him, and moving into what we're thankful for. Something interesting.
Okay, yeah, you see that pattern that Jesus set. You see Paul following that, how he addresses God. So, good. All right, any other thoughts? How does this prayer guide our prayers? I think that's good, starting with praise. You know, it's just important to acknowledge that. Kind of leads into the next question. Why? Why? Why should we praise God in prayer? This is a question we've talked about before, so this is a repeat, but why? Why should we praise God in prayer? Yes, John.
Because He's worthy of it.
Because He's worthy of it. Okay. Why else? Think of any other reasons. Why? Yes, Becky. Okay, good. Yeah, it helps us view ourselves in the right light when we are praising God for who He is. Okay, anybody else? Why else should we praise God? Okay.
I agree with John. You know, he's worthy of praise. That's what blesses me. When you do that, it pleases God. Great.
Okay, pleasing to God. Debbie, you got your hand up. All right. Good. Any other thoughts? Why? Why should we? Yes, Tom.
And I was just thinking, for the continual working he does in our own lives and our homes, it's not just one time and that's it. We have the Lord every day. There's some areas that we need to grow in.
Okay. Yeah. So just realizing that it's not just one act that God has done, but there is continual blessings that we have. So we should praise God for that. Anybody else? Pastor Gosper, yes.
I'm just thinking of the importance that it is for us to put into words the expression from our heart. I was thinking of in salvation, we're told that with the heart man believes in the righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made into salvation. And I think because he wants us to express that confession to him in our salvation, I think it just expresses the importance of putting into we put into words those things that express that adoration and who God is.
Okay, yeah, the importance of putting it into words. We see that in Scripture. Good. Mr. Reynard, you had your hand up.
It shows me that it helps go quite along with what the pastor God was saying. It shows us that where our strength lies, because he's told us he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He has told us that he would be our he is the vine and we are the branch, and that we could do nothing without him. And boy, how many times I've hit that because it is real.
Okay. Yeah, our dependence helps us to remember our dependence on God. So we praise God. Okay? Yes,
Jenny. I think it helps take your eyes off your problems and you start thinking about who God is and kind of guide the rest of the prayer to give you different perspectives.
Hope. All right, good. Takes your eyes off your problems. So, when we praise God. Any other thoughts? Any other reasons? Yes, John.
Maybe for the unsaved, it's listening to the prayer for others who might be encouragement to them. A reminder, encouragement for them to start praying. Just edifies those who listen to the prayer.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's can speak to those listening to the prayer as well, edifying them, speaking to them. Good. Anybody else? Why should we praise God in prayer? Got a lot of good reasons. So, good. Let's look at that next question. Number 3, what attitudes do we need to praise God? What attitudes do we need? Of course, it's praise is more than just an outward activity. It comes from the heart. And what attitudes do we need in the heart to be able to praise God? John?
Gratitude.
Okay. Yeah. Anybody else? What attitudes do we need to be able to praise God? Yes.
We need to have the humbleness. Tells us that he loves a cheerful giver. I think God loves a cheerful prayer who prays earnestly, sincerely, and humbly.
All right. Humility, cheerfulness. Good. What other attitudes do we need to be able to praise God? Guess I'm thinking about faith, if you can call that an attitude. But you need to have faith in God I think, to be able to praise God, trust Him. Faith is a matter of the heart. You know, it's an inward dependence on the Lord. So you need that. Yes, Mr. Lewis.
Joyful attitude that covers the mind, your emotion, your desires.
Okay, joy. You need to have joy in the heart. Good. Anybody else? Mrs. Gossman.
Considering all the things that have been said, the importance of it, recognize the heart of man, we often grumble, we complain, we wonder why God doesn't do what we want Him to do. And so we need to turn around our thinking. It can often be negative for God. Just have a love and appreciation for who He is and that He is working for our best.
All right, so it may be some negative attitudes we need to deal with first before having the right attitude, getting rid of the bad ones. Yes, Far.
I think to go along with that submission, an attitude of submission, kind of what she's saying too.
Okay, submission to God, right. Surrender to the Lord, just accepting His will and rejoicing in it. Good. Yes, Mr. Renard.
We must be willing to accept what God, how God answers our prayer. In other words, He tells us that we pray in God's will. Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done, not mine, but Your will, Father." And that we need to accept. We will be able to accept the answer that He gives, whether it be yes, no, wait.
Okay. Kind of goes along with the submission.
We are told to be still and know that I am God.
Okay, just accepting. An acceptance of God's will. Crystal.
Along the lines of what Barb and Beth were saying, I was thinking, you know, when you said look at our hearts and see if there's any sin we're harboring or any ill will we're harboring or hostility or animosity, not just to the Lord but to others. We need to come with a heart of thanksgiving because we know we're sinners, and without God sending His Christ, kind of like Debbie was saying earlier, you know, without the cross and without Jesus saving us, we would all be doomed, you know. So we really need to look at our hearts. Are we harboring any sins or anything like that?
Okay, yeah, dealing with sin in our hearts. Are we harboring that? We need to deal with that so we can praise the Lord. Good. Any other attitudes go along with praising God? Hopefully we can have those this morning as we praise the Lord. Let's go to the next question here, number 4. How should we evaluate spiritual blessings versus material blessings? In this verse, this prayer is focused on spiritual blessings. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. How should we evaluate that? Spiritual blessings versus material blessings. Can you evaluate those two things? Yes, Mrs. Lewis.
Spiritual blessings are things that are getting us ready from heaven. And then material blessings is what we need here on earth, which God provides all our needs.
Okay, spiritual blessings we need to get us ready to heaven, for heaven. They're heavenly. What was the second part you said there? Okay, so there are material blessings. Food, housing, clothes, those are blessings. Anybody else? How do you evaluate spiritual versus material blessings?
Well,
Yes, Mr. Lewis.
Spiritual is eternal, eternal and temporary.
Okay. Eternal and temporary. That's important. I was going to mention a verse there. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So that's a good way to evaluate it. There's temporal and there's eternal. So, any other thoughts on that? How do you evaluate spiritual versus material blessings? Yes, Mrs. Gosman. All right, so we need to be careful that we don't miss the things that we can't see, the spiritual ones. Good. Any other thoughts? How do we evaluate? Yes, Becky.
I think we shouldn't use it as a meter of God's love for us. I think it's very abundant and material, but it's not the only thing that we have a lack of abundance. It doesn't mean he loves us more or less. It's just his plan for us.
Okay, so we can make assumptions sometimes about how much a person has materially, you know, what does that mean about them? We can make false assumptions sometimes about that. The other thoughts, how do you evaluate spiritual versus material blessings? John?
One is eternal and one is temporary.
Okay, one's eternal, one's temporary. Anybody else? Is our material blessings bad?
No.
Why not? Okay, so the material blessings can be from God too. So they're not bad in and of themselves. Okay. Okay, they can be distracting. Can be distracting from spiritual blessings. Anybody else? How do you evaluate spiritual versus material blessings? Pastor Gosman. Yeah, I think about that. Sounds like something Jesus said, but I can't pinpoint it there. You think about the rich fool. You know, he said he's going to tear down his barns and build bigger ones. And okay, man shall not live by bread alone. Jesus said that. Okay, any other thoughts? How do you evaluate spiritual versus material blessings? Crystal.
Allows for those materials. You know, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. you're not honoring the Lord in them or with them, your house on the sand is just all flat. So, you know, things can be pulled right out from under us if we're not careful.
All right. That's very good. You know, involve the Lord in the material blessings. Not apart from them. See them as a gift from God. And along those lines, 1 Timothy chapter 4 speaks about some things that I guess false teachers were doing, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. I think that goes along with what you were saying about, involving the Lord in the material blessings. They do come from Him. So, need to be thankful for them. Any other thoughts? Yes. So God gives us what He wants us to have with the material blessings. Now with the spiritual blessings, the verse says He gives us all of them, all spiritual blessings. He's talking about the salvation blessings, but yes. So the joy and happiness not dependent on those material blessings. You see people like that who have experienced joy in spite of that. Okay, Barb. Yes. I think about Jesus Christ and His lack of earthly possessions. and that wasn't the driving force of His life. So, all right, good. Let's look at that last question. Just have a few minutes here. What kinds of spiritual blessings can we have? What kinds of spiritual blessings can we have? So, you think of any, what kinds might we have? Mr. Lewis.
Speaking of prayer, He's our high priest. Our King is God's throne. That's the great high priest.
Okay. Just the access we have? Yes. Mr. Wright.
That's one I can think of having
Eternal life. Good. What other kinds of spiritual blessings are there? Mrs. Gossman. Okay, the Holy Spirit and His ministries. He is a spiritual blessing Himself. Any others? I was thinking of the book of Proverbs, how much it talks about understanding and wisdom. I think that might go along with it. And how precious that is. And how important it is to get that above silver and gold. Proverbs also talks about honesty and integrity. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. So you have qualities like that that are spiritual things, you know, intangible, and yet the Bible points us to those things and how valuable those are, to have things like wisdom and understanding and integrity. And that's so important. You know, God Himself is a blessing. See that as Paul prays. And God came to Abraham, Genesis 15, 1, and said, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." God said that about Himself. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. God is that. And, you know, that's a blessing to us spiritually as well. Any other thoughts? Yes, Mr. Renard.
He gives us grace for the day. I remember, like I said before, Pastor Cox was telling us one time that scriptures tell us He'll give us grace for the day, but we get ourselves in trouble when we start thinking, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? What's going to happen next week? And a lot of people look on negative things all the time. So you never know what's going on in anybody's mind, but God gives us the grace for the day.
Period. Okay, daily grace. It's a spiritual blessing. Anybody else? There's many, many, many more. So we need to evaluate those, value them properly, and just thank God for everything that we have. Okay, well, let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do bless You. We praise You. We see that we are given all that we need, all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ, if we are truly Yours, if we are truly in Him. And so we thank You and we give You praise for that. Help us, Lord, to put aside the negative attitudes we might have in our hearts, so that we might be able to better thank You and praise You today, and especially as we worship You this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.